I forgot what chapter we're in. What book are we in? Shemot. Yes, thank you. Shemot is Exodus, and we're in chapter 5. We're starting chapter 5 because we left off in chapter 4 talking about the Bible adventures of Moshe here. We go from worship in the end of chapter 5. And they believed, and when they heard that the Lord cared about them, they bowed down and worshiped. So we ended up with the worship of Hashem. So they're supposed to leave Egypt to worship. Even finding out that God cares about them leads to worship. So as the creation of the people of God here out of Egypt, it is altogether a matter of worship. And may it so well be with us that we will be found worshiping. So we go from this worship to speaking to Pharaoh. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and says, this is what the Lord God says, let my people go so they may hold a festival to me in the desert. And so this is our text today. We go to this chapter 5 with Moses and Aaron, all of a sudden meeting with Pharaoh. And thus says, and in the Ivrit, Hebrew, you all need to read these things in the Hebrew as much as you can. Thus says Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohei Israel. I gotta love it. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Hashem, the Tetragrammaton. Elohei, God of Yisrael. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Shelach, my people. Shelach on me. And so if you read it in the Hebrew, it's a little different than what you're used to. But the Shelach word is the same as shliach. You all know shliach in Hebrew is the ambassadors. Or in the Bible days, we would call them apostles. Because shliach means to send. And so God told Moses and Aaron to tell Pharaoh, send my people out. And so we get the translation, let my people go. And this is the origin of it right here, the famous phrase, let my people go, which was what the slaves used as their slogan for their independence so many years ago, and it's still being used today. But it actually is, send my people to the wilderness. For what reason? Chag. It's the chag word in Hebrew, which you all know, chag word, because the Yisrael Rokadim Chagigah and Kehilat Chagigah. It is the celebration word. It is the feast word, which also implies the holy days, which was times of worship. Okay? And so that is the phrase that starts out. The first thing Pharaoh hears from this type of Messiah, as it were, is send my people out for a festival in the desert, a celebration, a hagim, whatever you want to call it. All right? So this is the cool way it starts. And the millennium will just be the kind of the icing on the cake of that started back here in Shemot. Let my people go. All right, so notice who Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is in here. He is Elohei Yisrael, which is the God of Israel. Elohim, the construct form or the possessive form is Elohei. And notice God tells Pharaoh to send the nation out, not just let them go out. Notice also why they are sent out is to hug, to celebrate the Lord. And notice, who is this nation he's asking or telling to send out? It is Ami. A-M-I. Ami. My people. So Hashem, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, says, let my people, send my people. So here we have Israel as firstborn son of God, and here tell Pharaoh, my people. Essentially, God is saying, Mr. King Pharaoh, you got my boys, and I ain't going to put up with it. And that's how this age is going to end. Same way it started. Mr. Kings of the world, listen to Hashem. He says, you mistreat my boys, and there'll be plagues coming for you. So that's where we're headed here. So now we have a Pharaoh response. Now, of course, he's going to bow down to Aaron and Moses and say, anything you want, anything, yes, I will obey Hashem. Is that what he says? Notice what he says here in Pharaoh's response. Who is this Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh? that I should shema? Who is this Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh that I should hear his voice? And it's the shema word in the Hebrew. And send Israel. It says, Lo Yodati Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. I do not know this Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And I will not send Israel. That is the king of the world's response to the God of Israel. Sound familiar? In the newspaper about every day? We're living in the same days. It starts and it ends the same way. I won't listen to his voice. I don't know him. I won't do what he says. And of course, Hashem had already told Moses earlier that this is what would happen. So it's cool here in verse 3. This is interesting. He says that he doesn't know Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. So let's help him out a little bit. And they change the name of God in the next statement they make. They say, the God of the Hebrews met with us. Now let us take a three-day journey to the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. Okay, so here we go. Now, and this is just it's probably Aaron's idea because he's the politician here, right? The one with the good speaking ability. Because they change it to, well, he doesn't know Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Well, tell him it's the God of the Hebrews. He knows the Hebrews. We've been here for 430 years. He got it. It's our God. That's who you need to, we need to tell you. That's who's told us that we need to go out. Surely you know that God. It's our God. Okay, so this is the tactic he uses. And of course, surely now he will let them go because he knows now this God. And so this Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, see, is our God. And you don't know him, but we do know him because he is our God, Eloheinu. And so we really have a confrontation here between Pharaoh and the God of Israel, which you can say Pharaoh, a confrontation between Pharaoh and your God. Because this God that Moses and Aaron are talking about here is your God. It's the same person. Same person. So there's a confrontation here. So who do you think is going to win? Now don't read the book. You'll find out who won. So the message is expanded here now. Now, if you don't send us out, this Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh that you don't know, but we do know, will fall on us with plagues and with sword. And so we really have a bit of an escalation of the ante, as it were, here. So, whoa, now a reason is given that would affect Egypt, which is plague and Horev is sword. You know, Horev is the same word as Sinai, and it means a sword which divides. And that's part of the burning bush lesson there. But now for sure, Pharaoh, of course, lets them go because they said that there might be a plague or something like that. Something bad might happen to them. So, of course, Pharaoh humbles them. No! No, what does Pharaoh do? He takes away the straw. So the response of the world is mistreat them more. Don't improve their situation, but make it worse for them. When God is going to step in and do something, make it worse on the Jew because of his God, right? And so he takes away the straw, and now they have to get their own straw, but the quota stays the same, as you know the story, and Israel's situation becomes worse, 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 and terrible. And even now the Israeli foremen that are over the slaves are beaten because the quotas aren't being made. And so the leaders of Israel that are the foremen put there by Pharaoh are beaten now. So things have gotten a lot worse in a hurry. And so what happens? These foremen, in the next verse, these foremen go to the Pharaoh to plead their case. Hey, this is unbelievably too impossible, bad. We can't do this. And you know what the Pharaoh says to them? He says, lazy. Lazy, lazy, and gives them no help. And so as you want to see here, Pharaoh's heart is already very, very wicked. In this story. Very, very hard. Okay. So then they meet Moshe. Now this is the beaten foremen that are Jews, Israelis, coming from Pharaoh, getting no help from Pharaoh, and they meet our great deliverer Moshe. And they're so smiley, huggy, huggy. No, they jump Moshe's case and says, may the Lord judge you for bringing this disaster on us. They jump Moses and Aaron's case. Blame it on Moses and Aaron. And they even say, we're all going to die. Okay, so we went from worship to the speaking to Pharaoh to the worst situation, and now the Israel is mad. So it was a good plan of God. It got off to a good start, but now the nation of Israel is in this disaster, and Israel is mad at Moshe, and Moshe is now mad at God. Okay, and that's the end of the story. God slaughters Moshe. No. Moshe now lays in to the living God of the universe. He unloads on Hashem. You ever had one of those days? And Moshe is not the only one that's ever done this. I'm looking at you. He says, why have you done evil, bad, or wrong to this people? Is this why you sent me? See, and in 5:23, ever since I spoke to Pharaoh in your name, he has done only evil to this people. And look at it, and you have not delivered us. And that ends the chapter. Whew. We better move on from here. But see, Moshe really speaks out here, and notice in the text it says he returns to the Lord. After the foreman's jumped his case and say, may the Lord judge you, or is pretty much like, may the Lord kill you for this, it says he returns to the Lord. And so, like, he gets told off, and so now he's going to go tell God off, right? And so it says he returns to the Lord. And so what we have here is Moshe's taking a walk, and he's kicking rocks, and he's grumbling. And he's dialoguing, and he's rehearsing his lines because he's going to tell God off. You ever taken one of those walks? See, I had to buy new shoes. I took some. Things are supposed to go a certain way, and then they don't, and they get worse. And you cop an attitude. And your attitude's against God. I don't know if there's anybody who hasn't taken a couple of these walks. If you haven't taken a couple of these walks, get yourself some nice shoes, because it might be your turn. But I've taken several of these walks. I could take one yesterday, because I had an attitude about something that was going on. So he takes his walk, see? And things are going terrible, and you just got to tell God off, and that's what we do. The longer you walk, the more upset you get. All right. Well, two things can happen on these walks. You can unload on God, which is what I usually do. Or you can start to slow down a little bit. You can kick a couple more rocks. Talk to yourself a little bit. You can mellow out a little bit and say, okay, I'm just going to let it go. And then you can say to God, I don't get it. But you're still God and I'm not. So you probably still like me some. And I trust you, and so pretty soon you just come to a stop, take a couple breaths, and you just turn around and go back home. See, that's what you can do. Or you can just tell God off. God's used to both ways. All right? And so so I encourage you, when you're taking that walk next time, you can just let it go and worship. Just go right back to the worship. You won't want to, and it may be the hardest thing you can imagine doing, but just do it anyway. Right? Didn't you kind of like make a commitment to the Lord, and it was for like when you have a wedding, it's for better and for the worser part? Well, sometimes there's a more worstesser part than you imagined it. So just let it go and worship. If you can. Sometimes I can't, but I'm just trying to share. So Moshe, he doesn't worship. He unloads on God. He uses the llama word twice. And you can always remember why in Hebrew is llama, because you can always say, why did God make llamas? And this is how you remember how to say the why word. And you know how to have these little hints to help you learn language, right? So Moshe uses the llama word twice. Why have you done this? Is this why you sent me? Type thing. I'm not the only one that's done this. You all know you've done it. Why? He's spitting a little bit. He's got stuff hanging in his beard now. And Moshe has a point. Ever since Moshe showed up and spoke in this God's name, nothing has gone right. The people have been tortured since he showed up in Hashem's name and spoke to Pharaoh. And it's Moses' fault. Israel's blaming Moses. See, you always got a blame shift in these situations. Yeah. See, most of us always easily want to blame shift, and then you dialogue it in your brain for about an hour until you get sick of yourself and you move on to something else. But don't blame shift. Just accept blame and just humble yourself and worship. I don't know whose fault it is. Surely who am I to cast the first stone anyway, crying out loud. So just move on from these situations. Anyway, Moshe says, why? And it's something because the whole entire nation is suffering because of him, and they want God to judge Moses now, so Moses is unloading on Hashem, and so what happens? Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh speaks to Moshe, and the next word in the Hebrew is now. It's great. Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Hallelujah. It's too good, isn't it? Now you will see. So it's something because Moses unloads, right? He spits up and growls at God and all this, and then God speaks. And he says, now you will see what I'll do to Pharaoh. And he just goes through the list of everything he's going to do to Pharaoh. And so Moshe says, all right then. And he backs up a little bit. Well, I knew you would do that. And all of a sudden, see, he's not all upset. And so give God a chance, will you? Sometimes it's instant, sometimes it's 4 years. But just let God have it, right? In the last verse of 5 is, ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moshe, I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, Yitzhak, by Yaakov. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them and give them the land of Canaan where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groanings of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to put you in the Holy Land. I'm going to give you all the blessings. And you got the whole story of the Bible as a response to Moses yelling at God. All right, so that's the Lord's answer. I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, right? And I will redeem you. I'll bring you out. I will take you for myself. I will be your God. And you will know that I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, your God. And you will know I brought you out. And I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your possession. I am the Lord.
Cool.
At this point, Moshe is going, okay. I got it. Whoopee, yay, God. This is the greatest text of the Abrahamic covenant in your Bible. Just the way Hashem answers Moshe. And it starts with now. Amen. So in the Hebrew there, it's hard to say if it's Pharaoh's hand that's going to do it or God's hand that does it. But we know that because it could be either way in the Hebrew. And so the King James says the Pharaoh's hand does it, but NIV says the Lord's hand does it. And I would go with the Lord's strong hand because eventually that's what takes place, okay, because we know the story. So the first part of the Lord's answer, though, to Moshe's unloading on him is now you'll see. And the second part is, as you know, it's going to be another rendition of the Brit Avraham. The Abrahamic covenant for the fifth or sixth time in a couple chapters here is the focus of the story. And so once again, I wish that the world knew this covenant, because this covenant controls the world and all of the world's destiny and history and yours. This covenant is everything. This is the whole Bible. And out of it comes the three covenants that come out of the Brit Avraham, is the land and the seed and the blessing, the land covenant, which is the land, which is the first part, the seed blessing, which is Mashiach, and the blessing to all the nations is because out of the seed of Abraham is Messiah, which opens up the door for the blessings to the whole world and not just Israel. But it all comes out of the Brit Avraham, and here once again, we have I appeared to Avraham, Yitzhak, Vayakov. So the Abrahamic covenant, once again, is the text. And so it's important to know this covenant. And it starts, though, and is always founded on the physical dirt of Israel, the Holy Land. And so this is why the whole world is opposed to Israel standing on this dirt, because the Abrahamic covenant is still in effect, and it starts with the dirt, the land, the soil, the rocks. It's the physical land of Israel that starts this covenant, and that's how the world will end this age, is this land will be fought over by Pharaoh. Okay, so that's the Lord's answer. All right, and it's like here, this is such a cool rendition of the Abrahamic covenant. You should, like, memorize this, verse 6 and 7 here. It's like this is God writing the Declaration of Independence, this text here. It's very good, okay? And it's just over the top. So we can see here, let me make an observation from history and then we'll stop. Moshe and Aaron asked permission nicely for only 3 days. And I've been thinking about this because it's irritated me. When did God ever tell them to ask for 3 days? It was only after Pharaoh says, I don't know Hashem, and I won't listen to his voice, and I'm not going to let you go. Get out. See, type thing. So then they come back. It's the God of the Hebrews. It's our God. And could we just have 3 days? It's kind of that feels kind of like that. And I don't know if that was the desire of the Lord for it to come across that way. But why I bring that up is that they didn't jump Pharaoh's case for his mistreatment of the people. See, if I'd have been Moshe, because I'm a little bit of a radical, I'd have lifted my staff and I'd have killed Pharaoh and half the Egyptian army, and I said, that's day one. Send my people out or we'll go to day two. You know, that's how I am, right? Because I love freedom and I hate bullets. You know, I just hate bullets. And this is all of history, is God raises up righteous men to kill the bullets. And that's all of history's ever been, right? There was a bully in Germany a few decades ago, and God had to raise up righteous nations to kill the bully. And what if they hadn't have killed the bully? Then where would we be? We'd have all been enslaved and speaking German and being devil worshipers. So anyway, Israel came to Egypt under the blessing of the earlier pharaohs. See, there was never any reason to ask permission. Egypt had no right to have these people enslaved there. They had no right. They didn't need to ask permission. They just needed to tell him, we're leaving. All the previous pharaohs knew that Jacob came with his family as sojourners and that they'd eventually go back to Canaan. This was always known. But instead, they become enslaved, you see. And so Moses and Aaron, they don't bring this up. And Egypt just never had any right to enslave Israel. So what I'm trying to say here is Moses should have, like, been a little more ballistic and declared war on Pharaoh and started the Exodus. And another thing that should have happened here is the UN should have rebuked Egypt. They should have put sanctions on Egypt.
Yes.
They should have put peacekeepers over there to make sure they could leave in their nice white trucks. See, this is what should have happened. Washington, D.C. should have put sanctions on Egypt and said, let them go. Washington should have declared war on Egypt to let these people go. See, well, I'm just bringing you up to speed here. All right. Should have cut off their aid. Right? But Moses and Aaron, they ask nicely for permission for just 3 days. Isn't this the way it has always been with the Jews in the foreign lands that they find themselves in? See, has anything ever changed? They always do the best work, the best production, the best citizens. And what always ends up happening? They get mistreated, kicked out, robbed, killed. Every nation they've ever been in. In this nation, then in this nation, and in this nation. When was there ever a bunch of Jews revolting against the country that they lived in? Has there ever been a bunch of Jews that rose up against the country that they were sojourning in ever? Has there ever been one? See, it's always don't cause trouble. Yes, after they were in the middle of World War II, we had the Warsaw Ghetto. And God bless those brave people. See, and it's always do what they say. But they're always blamed and always hated. And at the rally at the Capitol, in the previous years, when we've been there, now don't cause any trouble. See, the synagogues are in charge of this. They just help have us crazy goy Christians come with them. But they say, we don't want any trouble with the Palestinian protesters across the street, so don't infuriate them and don't edge them on, and we don't want any trouble. It's be nice. And see, it's the same story today. With everything is to be nice. Don't make waves. See, so we're in the Exodus here. What are you talking about present time for? Why? Because what is going on today in Israel? Don't make waves. Don't make the UN mad. Don't make Obama mad. Go with the two-state solution. Don't let Jews pray on Temple Mount. Why? Because they're still just like Moses and Aaron for the most part. Let's be peaceable. And let's not cause trouble, see? But there's a God coming to Egypt, and there's that same God's coming to Israel, and he won't be nice in his time. But this is what's happening here. Now, there has been some Jewish people that were not like this, that they had a little bit of faith and chutzpah. And you know what they're called? They're called heroes. You ever heard of Yehoshua of a Kelev? They lived. God let them live because they had courage and believed in the Bible and the Word and the Abrahamic covenant. Joshua and Caleb and then David, David, he's the father of Messiah. Messiah is the son of David. And David was a mighty warrior. What did he say to this Goliath guy? Hey, you can't talk about my God like that. I will kill you. And what did David do then? His brothers came and said, oh, don't be stupid. Just calm down. Let's stay down here and be humble and be beaten. And so he said, I'm going. I'm not going to let this person mock my God. And we have King David, see? So we do have these exceptions to the rule. The Maccabees. How about Diane and Bagan? These guys, man, they were killing machines. Glory to God for the heroes. So in these last days, there's going to be some Maccabees raised up. There's going to be, as we promote and give money to the Joshua and Calebs of Israel today, we are involved in this. So this is the cool thing about where we're at today is even though everything is still kind of be nice, be nice. There is a day coming where the day of the Lord is going to be upon us, and there are going to be some people that are not being nice to Israel's enemies, but they're being nice to Israel. Now, where could God find some of those people? Oh, there you are. Who believes in the Abrahamic covenant? There's not very many today. Most Christians, if you ask them what it was, it's a covenant God made with Abraham, I guess. And it's not Abraham Lincoln. Okay, so there are a few, okay, and they're heroes. So I just want to call you a hero today. And what are the real heroes of today, the ones that get involved in the Abrahamic covenant? Not just believe in it, but get involved in it. And this would be you. I'm talking to you all. And so I would just want to thank you today for being people that believe and are involved in the covenant God made with Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and through this you got born again by the blood of the Lamb, and through this covenant there is a thousand-year kingdom coming, and those that have fought for this kingdom and the Abrahamic covenant will surely be rewarded. Amen. So thank you. Shabbat shalom. Yavarekaka Adonai Vayishmareka. Yeir Adonai Panavaleka Vihunaka. Yiso Adonai Panavaleka Voyo Seim Laka Shalom. Bashem Yeshua HaMashiach Sarha Shalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Amen and amen. The God of Israel. Shabbat Shalom.
Amen.